Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I cannot think of too many times or instances in the history of the world where anybody would rather go to Milwaukee over San Diego, but today was probably one of those instances for sure. The Padres had to come home from Chicago after they were eliminated from the playoffs yesterday. Tony Gwynn Jr. called it all yesterday at Wrigley Field and was on the ride home today. I'm sure it wasn't as sad as we think it might have been, Tony, but
no,
you put your heart and soul and everything into it. I kind of opened the show with all of that. I mean, the emotional part of this, we don't, you know, we want to look at the statistics and the averages and all that, but, you know, for anybody who doesn't think the Padres care or fight, I mean, all you had to do is see the ninth inning yesterday. They were down to the last out with a tying run on. And you put a whole soul into a season, man. When it's done, it hurts, right?
Yeah. And not to mention several guys had to be restrained from going after the umpires.
You got to tell us about that a little bit.
I'll give you guys a little insight on the back end. That made me sad. That night, more so than in 22 when we got to the NLCS.
The Phillies,
more so than last
year. Even last year.
Yeah, man. It just hung with me a lot longer. Typically, you know, part of the reason why I enjoy doing this, this job of calling these games, is because for years, as a player, you take these games and these at-bats home with you. You don't get
to sleep.
So you
thought you'd try to sit up in the booth.
So,
for
the most part, I can wash my hands when the game's over and go home and sleep.
Yeah.
Not last night.
Yeah.
That one hurt. And I think for me, watching the game and understanding what Taillon was going to try to do all game, and then watching, man, I can't even find another way to say it, a lack of execution of forget moving runners, things of that nature, just understanding what the pitcher's trying to do.
Yeah.
There were only a few guys that actually, you know, I think executed what you needed to in order to beat him. I mean, he stayed away from everybody. He was never going to get you anything in to do anything, do any work with. And I think we just kind of fell into his trap. I mean, Manny smoked that ball to center. He was on it.
That was one of them.
Luis Rice pretty much hit the ball hard every time he came
up. At least to left center, yeah.
Every time he came up. And then you had O'Hearns. He had a changeup down. And, you know, to me that says, if he was ready for the heater, he got out in front of some off speed and
he still bounced it to the right side.
Hit it hard through the right side.
Yeah, but they were rolling
outside of that. He was just continuously throwing the breaking ball away or the sinker down, and we just kept
helping him.
Yeah,
right.
Play right into his game.
You know, I had already written it down in my notes on a scorecard. Funny, you know, as I make my notes during the game, and I said we can't keep pulling the ball. And that's about when you sent a text to us and said, we keep pulling the ball, we're going to be in trouble. And that, you know, it was. I can't imagine they went in with that game plan. What happened, Tony? What happens up there?
That's the part where, you know, sometimes it just seems like, you know, it's cliche. Like you get into these big time moments, the hardest part to do is not only slow the game down, but slow your mind down. And be able to process what it is he's trying to do to you as a right-handed hitter.
Right.
We'll go with Tati's bat. Because he probably had three of his worst AB's of the season, I thought.
Yeah, the first two were especially
I thought he battled
troubling.
on the third one
yeah.
with the hard righty.
Yeah.
He goes, I think it's a sinker away to start, a slider down, and then he punched him on a slider down and away. And
neither of those last two were anywhere really close.
No.
And he's so much better this year at laying off. We've talked about it all year.
And that's what I'm saying. So right. You start to see things that are, you know, out of character of what you've been watching all year.
Yeah.
Except this. One thing that wasn't out of character ultimately revealed itself, and that was the offense not being able to put together runs. I mean, we often talked about it during the season. Man, the offense just it can't get going. Outside of that stretch in April and maybe a week in like August where they were putting up some runs, it was a struggle really all season for the offense.
I wasn't trying to be critical of it. When I saw, though, that among the 12 playoff teams, they were 10th in RISP, and they were last in homers. And that's just what it was. And I look at that, and I'm like, how are they going to score?
If you're going to be last in homers,
you can't be last in the other.
You can't be last in runners
right.
in scoring position.
So I just thought, how are they going to score? And I, yesterday, again, when the great moment of that double play, which people aren't going to remember ever, but, no. You know, Arise and backhanding it and Estrada covering.
A perfect throw, too, so that.
Right?
So
and
that
under
Bogey
the circumstances, you know, that was a wonderful double play. And I know we all said, oh, good, it's only 2-0. But the first thing, again, I wrote down was, okay, but how are we going to score our two? I was worried even in the third inning. And, you know, it just turned out that way. So
that was just for the first four innings. You know, after that, you know, you get into bullpens, you know it gets more difficult. That's the whole reason why teams.
And that's why you press early in the game.
That's why you try to press early. And so, you know, that part was, as I'm doing the game, was frustrating to see it happening and know that these guys are capable but just aren't rising to that moment.
But I've also been in the dugout with a lot of teams over the years, not the Padres, not this, I get it, the level you want to say. But I've been in dugouts with teams that have been getting changed up on all day. As a matter of fact, that was me pitching, and I used to hear other dugouts saying,
"What do you mean changed up? Arm?
Throwing slow stuff,
oh,
you know, change
yeah.
ups, curves oh. off the plate." I used to hear it from the other dugout. Wait for it, hit it the right field, and then nobody would do it. It's just easier said than done.
Yeah,
and
but,
so even when you know you're doing it, sometimes you can't help it.
Listen, it is easier said than done, but like if the goal is genuinely to get to a World Series
yeah,
and win a World Series.
Gotta get done.
Those things gotta get done. And so that sucked, man. I don't know why that one hit me the way it did, but that one, that wasn't fun.
I thought part of it, and I said to Scraby, was that the fact that it was so wide open this year. I felt like it
That's
really was a missed
part,
opportunity.
Man.
There's no great
like,
team.
If I'm being honest, I don't think either of these two teams on this side of bracket have a chance against whoever.
The Dodgers or the Phillies.
I really don't. Now, something could change.
Sure.
It could get hot. Someone could get hurt. Whatever.
Yeah.
But we had the best chance.
Right. We did.
I thought.
We had a really good path in a season where only one team won over 95 games. And that was the Brewers, who nobody was really scared about. So, yeah, missed opportunity for sure, Tony. All right, ninth inning, you know, I don't want to go straight to it, but you're here. So I said earlier, you just can't make the mistake then. I know.
What are we talking about?
The call by the umpire.
DJ Rayburn.
I understand and I look in the mind of umpires and referees because I do it. But in the close, what am I going to say, you know, one last minute, 2 minutes of a tie basketball game, I just have to be uber locked in. I know I can't miss a call here. Maybe I can, you know, kick one in the first quarter, but here I can't do it.
Yeah.
And to me, he kicked it at the wrong time, obviously. And what are you going to do? You can't take it back. But tell us what you learned about some of the stuff, because it was kind of funny.
I mean, at first, I didn't see the the incident until later on that night. I was so down about the loss. I didn't think to look over.
Did you think for sure, like, because you're probably not watching on the TV screen, you're watching from the booth. Did you say to yourself, that's ball four?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So, without a doubt.
Yeah, it was obvious.
And listen, and this is the tough part, right, about missing a call like that on this stage. Outside of that, he missed like three pitches total.
Game.
Three or four pitches, I think, total.
He did.
But he's the big one. And so, listen, this is why the case for the ABS is ultimately there, right? It's not so much during a regular season because, yes, those things will get overturned throughout, but it's going to be for one of these calls.
One of these moments.
That ultimately could change the way the whole inning plays out at that point.
I mean, it is 40 years ago, but the 1985 World Series was decided in large part because a umpire missed a call when Todd Worrell touched first base, and the umpire didn't see it and ruled the batter safe. And because of that, the Royals scored two runs to win that game and the next game. So the Cardinals would have been champs. The same thing with the Galarraga, right? He would have had his perfect game. So this is why all of this has finally come into be. I just felt like he choked a little bit, and I think it's going to follow him. I do. I don't know that, you know, Padre fans, I don't think will hold a grudge, although some will. But I think when DJ Rayburn does his next World Series game, he better be locked in. Because, I mean, that, to me, can follow a guy making a mistake at that point. Just was bad. You can't do it.
Without a doubt.
Okay.
Without a
doubt. It will. So the hitters and the pitchers will think that,
I mean,
to a certain extent.
I'm talking about in terms of it following him.
Yeah.
It certainly is going to – that's not going to go away soon. I asked Xander, because before we all kind of parted away, I was like, hey, what did DJ say to you? And I was talking about
in the batter's box.
No. I was initially talking about the whole incident.
Oh, when they walked off the field past the dugout.
And he was like, I don't even know what he said, honestly. I just
was so mad.
But he did say when he first, you know, when he initially turns to look and he's kind of like, man.
Yeah, he threw his hands up a little bit.
Yeah, he said that DJ said to him, you got that down? As like,
you thought it was.
And that's, and for those who may not, that's a common way for the conversation to go. No one's going to be like, you know.
Oops, I'm sorry.
You had that one down? All right, I'll take a look. Something along those lines. But, you know, obviously, when you say, you got that one down, I don't think Xander really, that wasn't the answer he was looking for. So then that's when he got a little bit more upset.
Well, yeah, that doesn't, and now Xander's like, you're wrong. You're wrong. I cannot handle you being wrong.
Not now. You can't be wrong.
But it was, you know, that's again, I don't even want to, like, it's a big part of the game.
No, but every time we go there, people are going to think we're making excuses,
Padres,
and I don't want to do
that's,
that.
That was just a big piece at the end, but there was a whole lot that could have been done before.
All right, DJ did not go 3-for-26.
No,
he didn't. RIP.
He did not.
RISP.
RISP.
But I call it RIP for the Padres.
RIP.
Unfortunately. RIP. All right, what do you have? Something there? We're going to break. Traffic?
Yeah, that was all. That was what the gesturing was. He wants to go to prison.
Yes, I want to talk about on the other side. Yes, this is the break gesture. And if Chris doesn't see me, I keep doing it until he sees me. I want to talk about because I got a text this morning that the national media is just like crushing the Padres for going after the umpire. And I'm thinking like
what
every other
media?
Team. It was a Kansas City radio station that they were sending me saying that it wasn't a good.
Are you talking about the incident at the dugout?
At the dugout, yes.
Because if you didn't see it, maybe not everybody saw this. There is video of the umpires leaving the field yesterday.
Just to kind of explain to everybody why they're leaving the field, right?
Right. Okay.
So they're leaving the field, and their locker room, the way Wrigley is set up, is at the same side Mike Schilt hangs out. So it's going down
right
that side,
that path,
and it's off to the right. And so they have to go down this way,
man,
if they want to get dressed.
So they had to walk right past the Padres moments after everything happened. And we don't know. We just could see a lot of yelling and some finger pointing.
Yeah,
but we
something was said to the group.
And apparently Rayburn said something back, which
Rayburn,
really probably wasn't too smart.
Rayburn turned around and came back for more. And that's...
Yeah.
Where it got
That's where Xander saw red.
That's where he saw red.
I would see
Xander
red too.
Went, ah!
I would see red too. And I did not expect Iglesias to be so. I mean, he was upset.
Those dudes definitely put everything into it, man.
That was tough one to handle. In that regard.
But basically what I wanted to see, now that we're talking about it, I mean, every other playoff team's going to be that mad, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
First of all,
I guess the Kansas City team would be just fine with it.
Well, the Kansas City guy, I typed back, why don't you worry about your terrible Royals season?
And he typed back.
Okay, now you sound like one of the you sound like one of the tweeters we get.
Yeah, because it came at me, and I was like, what? And then they said, hey, we had two winning seasons in a row. I'm good. And so the bar is definitely lower in other places in the country.
I mean, any team that would have had the umpires coming through their dugout after a lot.
It would have been something.
And it would have been something, for sure.
I think the umpires probably should have just waited on the field.
That's again,
for everything to clear.
Just go through the Cubs dugout and then go to their...
You've got to understand what's going on there. Read the room. Read the room.
As I said, he missed... four calls all day, but he missed probably one of the bigger ones.
You got that down? Yes, I do.
As a matter of fact,
everybody in the world had that down.
Everybody in the world had it down. There's a guy in Kathmandu who doesn't even know the rules had that down.
He was like, that was a ball.
Yeah, for sure. All right, when we come back, I think we should talk with Tony here a little bit about, you know, where we're going to go here in the next few months once some of the sting wears off, and some of the things that go along with that as Gwen and Chris continues after traffic.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we love Tony Gwynn Jr. around here, but as mentioned earlier, we didn't want to see you today.
I didn't want to see you guys either,
no,
actually.
It's even. But here he is. He's back planning my
birthday dinner in Milwaukee.
Yeah, did you have a place picked out
and
everything?
Yeah,
Tony's birthday tomorrow.
I tried to speak it into existence and everything. I did everything I could.
Where were you going to go in Milwaukee?
It's a place called Carnivores.
Oh, man. Jeez.
Even if that was the biggest five-star restaurant in the history of the country, and I told Lori we're going to a five-star Michelin-rated restaurant.
Oh, yeah, you wouldn't be
and
able
then
to
I
get
said,
by.
But the name of it is Carnivores. There'd be no way we'd be going there. Carnivores.
I mean,
wow.
Do they have dinosaurs delivering food to you?
No, it's a steakhouse. It's just a cool name for a steakhouse.
Sounds awesome.
Something Milwaukee. Works in Milwaukee. I don't know if it works here.
For sure.
All right. Happy birthday, though, ahead of time to you.
Thank you, sir.
Tony. And for the Padres, eventually it'll, the dust will settle and everybody will, get to about next year. Scraby's got all the contract stuff there. But I said earlier, to me, even though today it sounds like the thing to do, I don't think you should make a whole lot of wholesale changes, number one. Number two, you don't really have the ability to do so because you have a lot of really long-term contracts. And the one thing that A.J. Preller did, even though you don't want to hear it out there at the moment, is he's put the Padres in a position to be competitive year after year after year. Now, I know somebody out there is saying, and I would a lot, are saying, well, at this point, we don't want to just be competitive anymore. We want to get over the hump. So what do you think to that end, or is it too early? You know, the Padres will be leaning towards trying to do.
I think it's impossible to know. We don't even know financially what payroll is going to look like. I mean, mind you, they slashed payroll this year. from Scraby, you're the payroll guy. How much did they slash it?
Oh, let me go look up those numbers
from last year. I think Manny made mention to that, right? It sounded like Manny wants O'Hearn back. You know, he said
that's a pretty good guy.
He said his name
a few times
personally. Yeah. He used his name specifically. I think you're going to get a bargain in Ramon Laureano and his team option. I mean, I think it's 6'5". That's like the going rate for like a backup outfielder.
No, he's coming back.
And so you're going to have him back.
Yeah.
You got some questions. You know, Michael King, free agent. Will he take the qualifying offer? Who knows? Dylan Cease, free agent.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people feel a way about that, but I mean, he was one of the dudes who actually stepped up come postseason time.
I get the feeling that people are out there all expecting that Cease and Arise will not be back.
Yeah.
I can't guarantee any of that. But as I said earlier, Arise may be the only position that you could replace. Because if O'Hearn is re-signed, Laureano, everyone else is a long-term contract. They're not going anywhere unless they make a flat-out trade.
Yeah.
And they're not trading Jake. Well, I shouldn't say that. They're not trading Jackson. They're not trading Fernando. They're not trading Manny. I don't think Bogaerts.
Maybe. They could do. I mean, it's definitely.
Right. That would shake everything up if they go there.
We don't. Yeah. We're so far out in knowing. I mean, shoot. AJ's under the last year of his deal coming up. You got. Schulte just got an extension, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm pretty sure he did before the year, so he wasn't lame duck.
And then you got all those free agents that you got to make decisions on. I think everybody else, as you said, this team is pretty much intact. The question now will be, what needs to be changed? We talked about the slug being down. I mean, is that a result of philosophy or is that a result of guys not having, the type of years that they're used to having?
The low-hanging fruit, of course, is we just fire Victor, because we've already talked about it. We can literally do that every other year. Do it every year. So that seems silly.
Not to say that they won't. I'm just saying that's a Band-Aid. Like,
I agree.
Can anybody else name me a name of a hitting coach?
In baseball?
Yeah.
Nope.
I'm racking my brain.
Right?
Who do the Dodgers have? You think we would know that one?
So, I mean, like,
yeah.
At the end of the day, whether you get a new hitting coach or not, the players still have to perform ultimately. So,
I agree, and Manny and Fernando, I'm sure, are going to take it upon themselves to say, "Look, we got to do more in a series than that." So I, those guys know.
If you want to simplify it, I mean, we said that from the very beginning.
We said they're going to go as far as they can go,
right?
And they didn't. They took. And the funny thing is, they both had a good game, which was the one we won.
Yep.
So there you go. Pretty simple.
They literally were the reason why we won the one game.
The one
that
they won. That's right.
Yeah.
And I also will go back to my four-run theory, because four would have been enough to win all the games.
Yeah, you'd have been on your way to Milwaukee a little bit earlier.
Couldn't get to the four. Damn four.
So that one was that yesterday was it was just, it was it sucked for me more so than any of the other two.
What? Do you go over and congratulate the other broadcast? Are you that kind of guy?
They're not there.
The radio guys are. Pat Hughes, you go over and give
Pat
them a
and Ron
shake.
Were both there. I did not.
I'm not a good loser. So
we did it through the window.
Good luck. That's fair then.
Yeah.
When I lose, I if the other person comes by, I'll say hello. Okay, good game, but. No, I don't like losing, even as a ref, as an announcer. But it is funny that you say you don't take it back to your hotel with you. I sometimes still kind of do, even though I don't play at all.
I did that long enough, and I remember the first time I did a game, and I was able to go home and sleep.
And you didn't do it?
I was like, oh, this is life.
How do you do
this? This is what all you people have been doing when you come home and you sleep like this?
I'm going to have to take a class because I close my eyes and the first thing I think of in a last, you know, if the kids lose a last second heartbreak on a, you know, basket doesn't go in.
I take that back.
It's first thing I think of.
When they're going through one of their losing streaks, yeah, okay. those ones stick a little bit longer. But like the everydayness of baseball and like
yeah, there you
win
go.
One, win a couple, you lose one. It's hard to get to. I don't want to get to that place anymore. But I got there last night as I rolled around.
We all rolled around. You attempted to roll around. I bet you a lot of people just
James
said, forget
Tyon
it.
Shutting us down irritated me.
Well, I mean, if you heard, you didn't hear
if you didn't hear
the TV broadcast.
Ben whoever. McDonald had the classic quote before the game. I wrote it down. By the way, he did a pretty good job. He's not bad. But he said, I don't know, because he has that Louisiana twang.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
I don't know if they could have a better starter for Game 3 anywhere, anytime, than Jameson Taillon. I thought, okay, you know, maybe Koufax, Pedro, you know. And if you want to just have this Scooble. Vintage, I'll take Scooble or, you know. Anyway, I
Cam
like Taillon.
Cam Schlittler, I would go with.
Cam Schlittler, maybe, right?
Maybe that was his point, was that it's a game three. You've already used those guys.
Maybe.
But
he was
laying it on thick.
And
he looked like a genius.
He didn't look bad, I must say. All right, we'll do a little Big Five, some of the other stuff. I got to tell you one thing. It's 2.5 hours into the show, and I know it's just kind of a different show than a lot of the ones because it's the day after the season. But how about a round of applause for this guy? That's the first I've heard of it in 2.5 hours.
Bang, bang, Niner guy.
Two and a half hours he's held off.
One more for 4 wins.
Bang, bang, Niner guy.
I'm not mad at that at all,
there
sir.
You go.
I knew
today was going to be.
I thought you might open with it, frankly.
No. I knew today was, let's just grab the bull by its horns.
Scraby read the room. He read the room well.
You did.
Yeah, because I put out a tweet right after the game last night saying, oh, time to go 0-2. Didn't get much reaction, so I think people were a little bit like, who cares about your 49ers, dude? We just lost in the
playoffs.
I got to
tell you, there weren't too many Padres sports fans who went over and flipped the Niner game on last night, I probably will
tell
Mac
you. Well, Mac Jones gave his life for the 49ers last night.
All right, I'll let you talk a little bit more about it in the Big Five when we come back.
He's itching to get there.
Oh, yeah. Well, one season's over, but another season continues. Got Aztecs tonight against Colorado State. 7:30 start out there at Snapdragon State. It must be one of those TV, made-for-TV events. I'm going to the game.
Are you?
Oh, yeah. I got my, you know, I'm ready. I got to take Lori.
You wear that shirt every day.
I know. I wear it all the time, so it wouldn't matter. But no, Lori's Colorado State. You guys probably remember that. So we will be a family divided tonight out at the stadium. Looking forward to seeing a little Aztec football. Scraby has a 49er victory. Did they make the Big Five, or did you want a special segment for them?
I honestly wasn't even going to talk about them at all today.
Uh-huh.
Seriously.
Okay.
Seriously. I mean, today is not a day about the 49ers, although Mac Jones did do some great things.
Al Michaels
tried to create a quarterback controversy during the game last night. He was like, you know, Brock Purdy, Mac Jones is winning games.
What's up with Brock Purdy?
What's
up with Al lately, man? It feels like
he's stirring it up. He's airing out dirty laundry on a guy who
can't even defend himself. He's been dead forever now.
Because he took the, I don't know, the comedians, you know, but once you get to a certain age, you just say whatever.
He doesn't care.
Remember when he said the prime matchups were boring on the air?
He's like, I'm Al Michaels. I'll say whatever's on my mind.
Tell you what, Chris, if we can do this show long enough, man, you might be able to take us to places we ain't never gone.
Are you
saying I still have a filter?
No, I'm saying you definitely still have a filter.
All right. Yeah, well, maybe it may go away pretty soon, actually. By the way, you should mention the San Diego zone. Warner made the big play in the overtime.
Fred Warner always makes the big play.
We don't talk about enough about him as a, you know, local.
Because he's a Niner. And we got Scraby here.
I know, but he is so good.
He is good.
All right, Scrabe, let's go Big Five. We got traffic first.
Yes.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
I forgot I was on camera there for a second.
We have a chat real quick from DJ Royalty 2. Says, well, first off, this is the one they sent first. Sometimes I can't stand you guys, but truth be told, I'm going to miss you guys. Talk Padres baseball.
Sometimes you can't stand us.
Yep, that's fine.
I appreciate the truth, man.
Yeah, I do too. Thank you for being here with us.
I'm happy to hear him say you guys. It's usually just you, Chris. It's just usually me.
And then the more infuriating message from DJ Royalty 2.
Oh, he sent another one.
He came back. Oh. This is coming back.
And I just watched a motorcyclist backwards park.
Motorcycles backward parking now.
Listen, that's like the alternate. You don't just get in there, skirt out.
I can't do it today. I can't do the backward parker thing today.
I park backwards.
I know you. I know. Yeah, I already know you that you do. But I came to the parking lot two days ago. Some guy was backing in, kept running up on the curb. Couldn't figure it out. I had to just sit there and watch this dude, so I backed up and I went the other way. It drove me insane.
Absolutely insane.
I even yelled at him, "If you can't park backwards, don't do it!" With my windows up.
Number five.
The Big Five is brought to you by your local Kia dealers. Visit Kia.com to discover movement that inspires. And the reason the windows were up is because in my younger years, I would have yelled with the windows down and it would have caused me problems. All right, so let's get back to the Padres real quick. Tony's going to be up first here. But there have been a lot of rumors about A.J. Preller and his status with the Padres as general manager. Will he be back next year? Will he not be back next year? So how much truth, Tony, to the rumor that A.J. Preller could be walking or set walking after this season?
I don't know how much there is truth to those rumors at all, but I think it's a little strange that he has been allowed to have 1 year on his deal.
Still.
Yeah.
His contract's up, right?
Is it up now? Does he have one more year?
Let me just make sure. But anyway,
I think either way, I think that's not the norm. So, you know, I don't know.
You're not sure what to believe here.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I would think I don't think it would be a good move. I can tell you that.
Yeah. That would be tough. Chris, what do you think?
Did you find it?
No, I'm looking. No, okay. How much truth to the rumor, Chris?
I have no idea, but I will say the same thing. I'm on record right now saying it's a mistake. You know, number one, Pivetta. Number two, Sheets. No one else wanted those guys. He did. Number three, not only did he add at the trade deadline, but he kept the payroll the same. Who else does that? I think you got to look at some of that stuff. But, you know, how long has he been the GM, Tony? Since long that 15 or
14 or 15? He took over in mid-season. I think he took over mid-season 14.
Okay. So that's 11-ish years. That's the only thing that concerns me, is that sometimes somebody will sit back in an office somewhere and, you know, it's just kind of time for a change. But I don't think it is.
I don't know why I'm having such a hard time finding his contract.
Well,
they've erased it from the web.
From the interwebs. I'll keep looking, but that is weird that you can't. You can easily find everybody else's contract out there, except for AJ Preller's. He's a mystery.
Number four.
All right, let's go to, managerial choices out there, everybody, because the Rangers' search for Bruce Bochy's replacement is centered on one Skip Schumacher.
This has been in the bag.
Former National League Manager of the Year, who worked in the organization for the past year. Quote, we have a lead candidate internally that we're focused on, said Chris Young. Our hope is that we don't have to interview anybody else. So Tony, or Chris, is Skip Schumacher the right choice?
Yep.
So AJ's contract's under until the end of 26. Thank you.
So he's got one more year.
Yes. Chris?
I said, yep. I think Skip Schumacher will be a really good manager. I think the Padres, you know, had him in this organization, which is probably why there's some sort of connection to Chris Young. So it makes pretty good sense to me. And I thought we were kind of close to even, I don't know if we were close to hiring him here. Oh, we couldn't because he was still with the Marlins.
He was the Marlins at the time.
They did a good job with the Marlins.
Took him to the playoffs.
See no reason why Skip Schumacher should not be employed again. And Texas does seem like the place. I'm surprised your guy, Buster Posey, is, you know.
Oh, he already said Bruce Bochy's out.
Yeah, said no way with Bochy.
Oh, said that, huh?
I don't think he actually said he's out, but he...
No, he said he's out. He said he's thinking about maybe offering him another job in the organization.
Okay, well, that means he's out.
That definitely means he's out.
Robert Murray is reporting that Kurt Suzuki interviewed for the Giants job recently.
That's not the name that I heard that made more sense, but I can't remember the one that I did hear that made sense.
Oh, I heard Albert Pujols as well, which doesn't make any sense to me. But
makes zero sense.
One of my friends was like, he needs to be it.
Cardinals is what I heard that one.
Ollie Marmol's going to be?
Oh, not the Cardinals.
The Angels.
Angels, sorry.
Yeah, because Ron Walsh.
All I know is that do you have to fire every manager that doesn't make the playoffs every year?
I mean, Carlos Mendoza is the prime guy to be fired.
Keep him. Yeah. It just seems so crazy. These people are so impatient.
Is it the people or the people?
The owners, the people, whoever.
All right.
Number three.
Wait, did I answer?
No, is Skip Schumacher, well, you pretty much answered. Is Skip Schumacher the right choice?
Yeah, he's the right choice. He, you know, he came into that job as Will Venable got the job in Chicago, who was kind of in the spot Skip Schumacher was. And so it makes sense. I mean, Skip is, he's already proven that he can be a good manager. And if he's connected to his front office and him are connected, man, what can he do? Because he did all of that while not being connected with ownership, at least, from that standpoint in Florida. Or Miami, excuse me.
And he's in the AL, so the Padres don't really have to worry about it too much.
Number three.
LIV Golf's UK entity apparently in 2024 lost nearly $500 million. Bringing its total losses to over $1.1 billion since 2021. Saudi Arabia's public investment fund has committed to covering these losses, which have raised quote-unquote material uncertainty about the entity's ability to continue operating. Tony, you're up first. When do you think the backers are going to shut this down?
They keep losing money like this.
A bill.
It's
4 years.
Well on its way. Scraby, maybe you can help me. What is it Trey Wingo that used to cover golf for ESPN?
I think he did some of that.
He did.
I saw him. He has like a little podcast or something now.
Yeah.
And he was talking about, and he's pretty educated in golf. He was talking about how Jon Rahm hates the decision that he made.
Oh, yeah, I've heard this too.
Because, you know, it's not nearly cracked up to what it has been. He's got a boatload of money, but
he hates the drones that fly over. He hates the music. He hates the format. He hates this. He hates that. But he loves the money.
So, you know, and it sounded like he was making the point that the PGA is perfectly fine allowing it to continue the way it is because they think that the LIV is losing steam. And so, yeah, man, I say all that to say that this is we could be reaching a turning point in terms of Liv being like, all right, I know we got like endless money, but doesn't mean we want to spend it like this.
Yeah,
$1 billion in losses.
Yeah,
Scrape, that's a lot. You got to get Todd. Remember a guy, Todd Leonard from San Diego. He writes for Golf Digest now.
Oh,
and he has an article dated today.
Oh,
about Liv Golf and the disaster that it is.
Oh,
so maybe we should try to
get him on.
No, seriously, no, it's a good. It's good.
Todd Leonard, good guy. He says they've lost, according to the actual reports, it's $1.4 billion.
Oh, it's even higher.
Which is way more than a billion.
Yes, it is.
Because $0.4 billion is quite a bit.
Right. So, that's $400 million, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, let's get
Todd on. Take your word for it.
Yeah. Try to get Todd on. We'll talk a little bit about it with him. But, yeah, I mean, there's got to be a breaking point for any businessman, isn't there?
I don't know.
Even these guys.
This PIF fund has unlimited money, it seems like.
I guess.
But if they lose all their players...
Well, how much longer do the players... Are they tied to it?
They're all different.
Oh.
They're all different.
Yeah, like different lengths in their contract?
Yeah. Trey Wingo, by the way, I typed in his name in Liv, and apparently they offered him the lead voice role, and he turned it down.
Ah.
He doesn't want to attach himself to a loser.
Ah.
Number two.
All right, here's a total Big Five question, but the Buffalo Bills have upset some Yankees fans out there after wishing good luck on social media to the Toronto Blue Jays. Everybody.
They are closer.
Yes, of course.
They are closer.
The biggest reason for this is the fact that the Jays AAA affiliate is located in Buffalo.
Yes, they are.
And according to the article, they said, whether not realizing or simply not caring, however, many Yankees fans felt frustrated over the post given that the Bills are considered to be a New York team because they're in New York.
But they're
the
not.
The state of New York.
That's the problem.
Chris
has been to New York enough to know.
They're not.
Go ahead, ask a question and I'll
be ready. Is this sacrilege for the Bills to wish the Blue Jays good luck in the playoffs?
It would only be sacrilege if the people in New York City even knew Buffalo existed.
Right, if they claim Buffalo at all.
They never claim Buffalo.
I have never met a New Yorker that was like, oh yeah, I'm a Buffalo fan.
Yeah, I love Buffalo. Yeah, Buffalo and Toronto were much more sister cities, so I think this is totally
fair. Is there anything to sticking with your American counterpart?
No, but okay.
Is this a Canadian thing rather than
out of here?
I mean, basically by your rule of thumb that we should have to root for the Giants and the
Brandon,
49ers.
Brandon on the chat
in our state
makes
too.
A great point. The Bills are technically the only New York team because those other two teams play in New Jersey.
And that's how bad New Yorkers treat them.
Yeah.
No one would know that.
Yeah. So we're both saying
this
that
is
this is okay?
One. Yeah, this
absolutely.
Is fine.
All right, let's move
on. Go number one. Go.
I honestly forget that Buffalo is in New York. I'm not thinking about New York at all when I watch them play.
I'm not either. Not either.
Buffalo might as well be its own state.
It is, basically.
It's far.
I'm going to butcher these names, but San Diego State introduced Ejecatl, Osolotl, and Kali. I know those are really bad. But those are the new San Diego State Aztecs symbols. Wind, Jaguar, and House.
Yes.
Yesterday, they formally unveiled the results of a 6-year project to identify an iconography that is historically reflective of the Aztecs culture while aligning with the school's pillar values. Translation, according to Mark Ziegler, after retiring the controversial Aztec warrior mascot, the university wanted to create a new set of Aztec brand symbols that will re-energize the SDSU brand while not abandoning the Aztecs name or the interlocking SD logo. We do not have time. I guess
we can do this pretty quick.
Do you guys like these logos?
I'm not in love with them yet.
I'm not either. I'm going to need some time.
I do find it, you know, hilarious that they always release this stuff by saying a new logo that's going to energize the school. Has a logo really energized ever anything?
No.
And they don't call them logos. They're calling them glyphs.
Oh, I like that.
Which I don't even know what that is.
Well, because it's like a glyph is like a ancient marking or something.
I didn't know that either. Well, I didn't know they
more
were
than I knew.
Glyphs.
It took 6 years to get these made.
Although I should say I like these a little bit because they're probably going to show up on some of my Aztec gear.
They just
soon.
Need to sit on me a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I need a little time.
Okay, I'll get the Jaguar to sit on you.
I kind of like the building
more
one.
On the other side.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.